Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/ Steve and Larson. And anywhere fine podcasts are available, be sure to hit that subscribe button because it helps everybody. It, like, notifies you if we have new episodes and all that kind of great stuff.
Yeah.
We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/ Steve and Larson. We have all sorts of great rewards. We're about to update it to add more rewards to
that. Yeah, when are we going to do the update? You want to have it take effect? June 1st,
Patreon update. Yes.
Yes.
As of June 1st, we have all sorts of great rewards. We had like 80 people watching our live stream yesterday, which is patron only for the Raw cap. We might be adding some more stuff like that to it. And we are currently on the road to 1,000 patrons, Larson. We're at
correct.
985 as of the taping of this episode.
And what happens if we get to 1,000 before noon Sunday?
We will do a live reaction live stream reaction video of Backlash on Sunday.
Yes, with pizza.
With pizza. We're going to have a pizza party. That doesn't really affect the patrons. Like, they don't get any of our pizza, right?
No, but maybe, I don't know.
I mean, if they want to get pizza too and enjoy us.
Yeah, yeah, I think pizza for us just makes it more enjoyable for us.
Oh, for us, sure, which would probably make it more enjoyable for them as well.
Exactly,
so,
that's what I was
listen,
getting at.
Listen, you can start off at $1, see if you like it, see the rewards, just take a look. Patreon.com/ Steven Larson, whatever,
yeah.
Whatever
yeah.
it is.
We're also at Pro Wrestling Tees.
Yeah.
At ProWrestlingTees.com/goinginraw. 9 designs. I'm going to try to get the 10th one up today.
Oh, whoa.
It's pretty much done. Whoa. I got to do one thing.
Whoa.
And it's to tie in
wow.
with last night, or actually this morning, because I got it went up late.
Yeah.
The latest episode of Fun Wrestling.
It was a mind-boggler. Super top-notch.
Top-notch, super best.
Unmasked.
Yes.
I'm not going to spoil it.
Don't
you guys
spoil
need
it.
To watch it. And then the main event, the most shocking finish to a match, finishing sequence to a match. Literally, we went outside the arena.
Fun Wrestling is really the only wrestling organization where time and space is barely holding together.
I can't disagree with that. Everything, I mean, you know, top-notch unmasks. And then, you know, the main event goes completely awry.
Yeah. It's action you can only find in Fun Wrestling.
That is absolutely correct, for better or worse. But we're going to talk about SmackDown today because we had the go-home show to Backlash.
Yes.
The upcoming Backlash, which will see the debut of Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yes.
Did he even show up?
No.
No, he was in video package form
yes.
last night. He sent his video package representatives. As a whole, what did you think of the show?
It was okay. I thought the high points on Raw were much higher than the high points on SmackDown.
That's interesting, really.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think the three main
the high points on Raw? I forget already.
Well, the Intercontinental title match.
Oh, that was really good. That's a good point.
That's what I mean. Those three
that's
matches.
A good point. Yeah.
Reigns, Balor, and then
Bray Rollins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those three matches I thought were better than pretty much anything that was on SmackDown.
Yeah.
But, you know, SmackDown is consistently, like, their floor mm-hmm. is higher than Raw's floor. Like,
oh,
Raw's
for sure,
bad.
Yeah.
It's bad.
It's like, it's tough to
and
watch.
And I can think of maybe one bad SmackDown since mm-hmm. the brand
yeah.
split.
No, I agree.
Last night was just okay.
Yeah, last night it was decent. I don't know.
Yeah.
It showcased gender a little bit. I thought that was
yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
Interestingly, so on our Twitter feed at Real Going In Raw, I posted up a poll.
Yes.
Last night's SmackDown, I'll talk about the Raw one too. I said, was tonight's SmackDown For Life or Obsolete?
And For Life won, huh?
737 votes. 56% said it was For Life.
Interesting.
As opposed to Raw, 1,280 votes.
Wow.
61% said delete. 39% said too sweet.
Interesting. I guess my opinion differed from the Going In Raw community.
Yeah, I think so, because I thoroughly enjoyed SmackDown last night. Let me look at these notes
Well, hold
quick.
On. I should preface my opinion on SmackDown, because I was rushing to get Fun Wrestling finished.
Oh, yeah.
It always while depends trying on, to watch SmackDown.
What else is going on.
Yeah, so, I mean, I pay attention to everything for, say, for maybe one segment kind of towards the latter half of the show, but otherwise, you know, I followed it pretty well.
I watched the second half of the show last night and the first half of the show this morning.
Interesting.
Because I think I was doing stuff. I don't know what it was. Sometimes I'm just like, you know what, I'll watch it later. Sometimes I don't care about watching it live. Sometimes I'm really into watching it live.
I find with Raw especially that my experience benefits from breaking it up.
Mm-hmm. I've got the show notes right here.
3 hours of Raw, especially late at night, is a bit much.
These are going to go to a $10 patron.
Okay.
At some point, like at the end of the week, I'm going to say I've got these show notes ready to go for like and do like a trivia question of some sort.
The first person to answer it correctly?
Yeah. Well, we got like five of these. I'm going to have like six or seven of these notes. I don't know.
So the first, well, I mean...
Yeah.
You'll need six trivia questions then.
Or I'll just need one trivia question for six people to answer correctly.
Well, then the person, it could just be the person that sees the answer and just answers it right afterwards, you know?
Yeah, either way. It doesn't matter. But anyways, the show kicked off with Kevin Owens coming down to the ring and introducing the Kevin Owens highlight reel.
Yeah.
Now the highlight reel is hosted by the new face of America.
Yes.
Kevin Owens.
Yeah, so he started this segment kind of doing a brief recap of how he took Chris Jericho out of action.
Yes.
And saying that the original host of the highlight reel has been put on the injured list.
Right, right.
He is taking over.
Yes.
Essentially.
Yeah. So it's his highlight reel now. And he introduced his guest in French, in the French language.
Lots he was of, in the process of doing mm-hmm. that.
And AJ Styles comes down.
Yes.
So I get the insinuation that AJ Styles was supposed to be the original guest, because then when Jinder interrupted, Kevin Owens and Kevin Owens kind of turned and said, well, you know, Jinder is supposed to be my guest.
I didn't interpret it that way.
Really?
I thought Jinder was supposed to be the guest all along.
Oh, okay.
Because when AJ's music hit, Owens reacted as if he was exceptionally upset that AJ was coming out.
I think he was upset. Okay, I'm just gonna go straight to the ending on this. We disagree, but we're probably both right. That's how these things usually play out, right?
Yeah, could be.
Right. Okay. We're gonna disagree on this one, but we're both probably right. AJ Styles comes down. He talks. Jinder interrupts him. He says, "I was supposed to be the real guest," and Kevin Owens says, "Yeah, he was supposed to be the real guest." And Jinder talks, and then he starts laying down some Gandhi. He busts out some Gandhi, right? Right.
Right.
And then what happened?
Not in my notes.
Then we had AJ Styles versus
Jinder Mahal. Oh, okay. I thought there was something else that I missed.
Then
we had AJ versus Jinder Mahal.
Yeah. And then Owens got on commentary, so you knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
They gave this match a lot of time. It was like 20 minutes, I feel like.
Yeah, they did. And I maintain that Jinder Mahal will never have a five-star match. Never, ever have a five-star match. Here's the thing. He's not like a bad wrestler.
No.
It's just he's really like, look, here's the thing. You're never going to get a five-star match out of a dude who's that tall and he's all leg. Because it's so lumbering. Everything about him is so like lumbering. Like, and that's just the way he wrestles. Like, he's tall. He's got nothing but leg, and he's just he's a power wrestler who's very tall. He's like Sid.
I was gonna say his style is very reminiscent of Randy Orton.
You really? You think so?
I mean, just in terms of the pace at which they wrestle, because Randy wrestles a very deliberate pace.
Slow.
Deliberate.
Slow.
Jinder wrestles, I guess, a bit quicker than Randy.
He's got a bit more fire. I'll give this to Jinder. He's got more fire.
Yes,
like in the ring, and that's great. Look, here's the thing: Jinder, if you would award a 5-star match based on effort, Jinder gets all 5 stars.
Yes,
totally. But it's very. I'm not gonna say awkward, but I mean, it's you know.
I will say that AJ did a great job of making or helping Jinder look great.
He helped him look good, When you say great, I know what you mean. You mean looking like a threat.
Yes.
And with that, I agree. Here's the thing. If you're in the ring with AJ Styles, like AJ Styles could carry me to a 4-star match, but I can't.
Well,
I can't
3.5.
I can't put on a 5-star match.
3.5.
3.5. Fair enough. If he can carry me to a 3.5-star match, then he should be able to carry Jinder Mahal to a 4-star match. But Jinder Mahal, man. I like Jinder. The thing, I like Jinder. It's just, you know what you're going to get with him. Owens was on commentary. He was great.
Yes.
The Singh brothers distracted the ref. Owens then hit AJ kind of on the leg, right, with the belt?
Yeah, the knee.
Knee area with the belt, which hindered him and allowed Jinder to pick up the win with the Cobra Clutch Slam.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And then AJ was selling the knee afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Writhing in pain in the middle of the ring.
We're going to do our backlash predictions in a separate episode.
Mm-hmm. Right after this. Right after we're done shooting this.
Right after we're done with this. Then we had probably the highlight of the night.
Oh, yeah. Again. That was great.
Fashion Files.
Fantastic.
I mean, have I done a Fashion Files thumb yet? For this episode, I'll have a Fashion Files thumb.
Yes.
Definitely.
Because I think this is the best episode of Fashion Files yet.
You don't know what to make of their match at Backlash. You were saying earlier off camera.
Weren't sure
in what direction you were going to go.
But I decided.
Okay. Because it's either going to be Backlash or Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to pick it. They are going to be the new tag titles.
Yeah.
The new tag champions. I am leaning towards them winning at Backlash. But anyways, this time it kicked off with Fandango by himself in their police headquarters office.
Yes.
And then the janitor comes in.
Fandango was wondering where
his partner was.
Yeah. And then in comes
the janitor.
The janitor.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
And, Fandango started criticizing his attire.
Yeah.
And he said, if my partner was here, he would, issue a ticket or whatever. And then he said, he is here.
Yeah. He takes glasses off.
He took his glasses off. And Fandango says, how was your how was your undercover work?
So good.
Oh, it was so good. So it was good. So funny. So anyways, my favorite part, though, was when they start running down all the various SmackDown Superstars merchandise attire. And like Sami Zayn.
Well, first was Corbin. And
three shirts. All wolves. Then he has like a bag of like Sami Zayn's.
I think it's supposed to be his jacket.
Oh, it was supposed to be his jacket? Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
I got the idea that it was supposed to be his drawers. I thought he said something like his underwear was the same like color as, I don't know, maybe I was half paying attention. Because then Fandango sniffed it and was grossed out.
Yeah, so maybe it was.
And then they showed the Usos like shirt that says day one-ish. And it says, day one is H. What does it even mean? Oh, so good. I was cracking up. So anyways.
Great.
That was fantastic. Then we had a Randy Orton interview where he called Jinder an ass. You know what's funny, though, is that I don't know why this should matter. I know he's not that dismissive because I saw him on radio saying that Jinder was great.
I know. But
I wish they would just go with that. Say, man, Jinder's great. I don't know why they haven't been pushing him, but he's not going to win my title. You know, like just do that.
I know.
I think there's definitely a place for Jinder at a very high spot in this company. It's just not in my high spot.
Yeah, I know. It's just not. I'm in the way of that spot right now. So
exactly.
Let me fulfill my title run. And
just
then
keep it real. Just keep it real. You know, we know you like him. We saw you on the radio.
Yeah.
You broadcast that to thousands of people on Sam Roberts' show. I think it was Sam Roberts' show. Anyways, next up we had Breezango versus the Colognes. I actually skipped ahead in this match and went straight to the Usos in their promo.
Oh, okay. I think this is the second time they've formatted the match where Tyler Breeze is kind of the one that takes most of the other team's offense. And then Fandango is one that gets the hot tag.
Gotcha.
And scores the pinfall victory.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't know if that dynamic will continue.
No, we'll find out.
We will.
So the Usos come down and they essentially say, you guys are jokey, but things are going to get serious. It's like, you're going to be in our prison. I wasn't sure if the Usos were supposed to be like a rival prison team or the guards or co-wardens.
No, initially they said, I believe they said they were the wardens of Uso Penitentiary.
Oh.
But then they said that they were going to put,
who do they name penitentiaries after? Usually it's just like the location. It's like Folsom State.
For the most part, I think. But then they said that they were going to put Breezango on trial, And that's not what happens in penitentiaries.
Right. No, I noticed that too. I mean, maybe he meant jail because you go to jail pending trial.
Yeah.
But then prison.
But you don't go on trial
in
jail.
Let me see if you know this. What's the difference between jail and prison?
Jail is just where they kind of hold you for a time thing, and prison is where they send you for your actual sentence.
But what is the time limit for a jail?
Oh, that I don't know.
1 year.
Oh, okay.
If it's more than a year, you're in prison.
Okay, gotcha.
I even forget why I know that. Anyways, I do remember now. So let's talk about the Usos a little bit. I'll say this. Let me start off with the positives. I love how passionate they are. They seem to really have found something that they're very comfortable with doing. Like talking loud.
Yeah.
Here's my problem with them. So they're supposed to be like gangster guys, right? I have a really, really hard... Okay, I'll put it this way. Who's my favorite non-WWE tag team that I think are scary legit?
Is it the Gorillas of Destiny?
No, the Briscoes, man.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
The Briscoes, yeah. Okay.
Sorry, I forgot about the Briscoes.
If the Briscoes, if I had seen them for years... Putting on, I'm not going to say silly face paint because I know that the Usos put on like war paint, which I think was like a thing, like maybe no, it would look silly. It was all colorful and stuff. But they were like smiling, happy, baby face, good guys with very bright attire and they were goofy. We're happy, happy guys. I would no longer think of the Briscoes as being, oh, they're legitimately scary. The Briscoes, I think, have always just sort of been the Briscoes. And they really come off as legitimate, like who they are, who they show off they are, who their character are. Jeez, I can't talk to them.
Is.
They seem legit.
Okay.
Like when they go film on their chicken farm, I know for a fact that is their chicken farm.
Yeah.
They are chicken farmers mm-hmm. also, as well as pro wrestlers. Mm-hmm. They come off as the most legit tag team I've ever seen. The Usos doing this like gangster thing that they're doing after seeing them for years as smiling, happy baby faces. I don't believe it. I don't think you can go that far 180 and try to ground your gimmick in some form of realism and come off as that legit. I just don't get it.
When they turned heel at any point, do they do a promo or interview going into detail about that transition at all? Do you recall?
If they do, it wasn't significant enough for me to remember and buy the transition.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember like when they went from like wearing their very bright attire to, I mean, I kind of remember like they came out the next week and it was cool. It was like, oh man, they're kind of, I mean,
yeah, they had
the
new theme and completely new
gear. I praised them before, but they're straying so deep into that territory that it's kind of cartoonish now. And I'm just not into it. Like, they sort of made the transition from smiling, happy baby faces into disgruntled employees, you know, guys with a chip on their shoulder,
yeah.
Which is one thing. But they've taken it so far into like cartoonish movie caricature. Like they seem like character, like guys you'd see on like an episode of NYPD Blue or something. Like I just don't buy it. I don't buy it. And they're really loud. So I don't know. I just don't buy into it. That's my thing with the Usos. What do you feel about the Usos?
I mean, I guess I understand your point, and I don't disagree with it. I guess from their perspective, they're more interesting now
mm-hmm.
than they were when they were baby faces.
I mean, I won't disagree with that.
And from that regard, in one sense, it's an improvement over what they were doing before. But I completely understand your point of view.
Yeah. So, anyways, they come out, and I'm not. Their promos are as effective as they can be, I think, within the context of the characters they're playing.
Yeah, and their delivery is passionate.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it totally is. So I'm happy with them. I mean, I'll put it this way: like their promos are passionate enough that I have doubt in my mind they're going to lose those titles. But at the same time, when's the last time they wrestled?
It's been a while.
I think it's been a while, and if it hasn't been a while, they didn't make enough of an impact for me to really care.
Have they defended the title since WrestleMania?
I think one thing, I don't...
Maybe once?
Maybe.
Oh, I think they had a rematch against American Alpha, the SmackDown after Mania.
Yeah, I think you're right about
that. But I don't think they've wrestled since then.
I think one of my things also is, this might be also a thing, this could be something. I said this the first time they cut a promo on American Alpha, when they showed up in the crowd. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I said what they needed to do was attack American Alpha and then cut a promo over their prone bodies.
Mm-hmm.
That action probably would have been enough for me to buy in a bit more than I am now.
Yeah.
If I saw the passion, the viciousness that they claim to have verbally, if I saw that play itself out in their actions, meaning attacking them backstage,
attacking them in the ring after a match,
then I'd probably buy into them a bit more.
Yeah.
But as it stands now, they're just sort of playing characters.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to see some violence.
Yes.
That's maybe there's a solution for you.
Could be.
Anyways.
Could be.
So yeah, they cut a promo on Fandango and Fandango just sort of stood there. Or Breezango, sorry.
Yeah. After Fandango hit Falcon Arrow to pick up the win.
Right.
Next, we had a contract signing for a 6-woman tag match.
Yeah. Shane comes out and he, you know, I like that when Shane does this, like he really makes it, he gives it big fight feel.
He does.
Even though it's a 6-woman tag match. I think it's kind of cool. Like the addition of Charlotte, even though I'm not entirely sure. And we've heard rumors that like.
They might be backtracking from her face turn a little bit.
Yeah. Because they're not huge on it. I don't know what they would have expected. It's not the face turn that's the problem. It's like grouping everybody together is the problem.
Yes.
Because like, what is she supposed to do?
I know.
And I still think, I still absolutely think that the best move here, whether or not they're going to pull it off, I don't know. The best move here would be to turn Becky Lynch heel.
Yeah, you're a huge advocate for that.
Because I think it makes sense. Because you've already pulled the trigger on Charlotte going face. You've already done that. Like, you can't backtrack now. That's silly.
Do you think they could do something where Charlotte turns heel on Becky and Naomi, but also doesn't align herself with the welcoming committee? It's like she's heel separate from...
You want to bury the entire welcoming committee, then absolutely go ahead and do that. Because okay. At that point, they have no reason to exist.
Yeah.
Maybe to get into a program with Naomi.
Yeah.
But here's my thing. I mean, Becky aligning with the welcoming committee might be stacked up too much on the heel side.
Yeah, I think that would be a problem.
That's probably gonna be why Becky won't do that.
Why do you think when Lana debuts, face or heel?
I mean, my instinct is to say heel. Because that gimmick is like you can't do that gimmick these days and be a face. Right. Well, you tell me. What do you think?
No, I understand that, but then at the same time, people really like Lana.
No, I know. People do really like Lana. But they've never really cared about that in the past. I mean, they tried, and maybe they learned their lesson with the whole Dolph thing. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe. I mean, maybe she can be the one to sort of counterbalance things. I don't know. Maybe. I don't get the dancing gimmick. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Maybe when they do it, they'll execute it right. I don't know.
But anyway, I was gonna say, depending when Lana debuts, which side of the heel face spectrum, she kind of goes,
mm-hmm.
may help balance things out if Becky were to turn heel.
I mean, here's one thing you can do. What do you have? Three people plus Ellsworth in the faction?
Welcoming committee, yeah.
I mean, you can have Becky turn heel, but not necessarily.
It could be an interesting dynamic if she were to turn heel,
mm-hmm.
and align with the welcoming committee, but still have that tension with Ellsworth,
mm-hmm.
because
yeah.
it's, you know, she doesn't like him.
Yeah, I know.
But then she said in interviews that she, you know, that she, well, I've seen interviews where she said that she's interested, I think, in the idea of a heel turn. But
oh,
then
no
also
kidding.
She wants to have a match with Ellsworth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So.
Here's my sort of end game with the Charlotte Becky Lynch thing is that you can absolutely, you need to have a, I'll put it this way, you need to have a program with Charlotte and Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
Because you need the kind of prestigious wrestling that we saw on Raw with Charlotte and Sasha Banks.
Yes.
You need that on SmackDown to accomplish your goal with sending Charlotte there of bolstering the wrestling aspect,
mm-hmm.
of their female, mm-hmm. division, of their women's, mm-hmm. division. And I think that you don't want to tread the same territory as you did with Charlotte being the heel and Sasha / Becky being the face.
Yeah.
And so you could do something where you turn it around and you have Becky being on the offense, Charlotte being on the defense, and Charlotte has to then experience the same thing from the vantage point of Sasha Banks before. That, I think, could create some interesting dynamics.
Also, going back to when Charlotte and Becky debuted, there was that whole storyline where Charlotte more or less turned on Becky.
Mm-hmm, right, yeah.
So you can do the flip side of that.
Exactly.
And there's motivation there.
Yeah, and then, I mean, if you want, you can have Becky taking on Charlotte, and then you can have the Welcoming Committee, who's kind of like a weaker heel faction, but they have strength in numbers against Naomi, who's being booked really strong these days.
Yes.
And I think that could do wonders for Naomi.
Yeah.
To have to take on three people.
Yeah.
So, I like that. I like that a lot. Will it happen? I don't know. But something has to give here in the six-woman tag match.
Yeah,
do you think this is going to be a straight-up match? Do you think this is going to not end with something oddball happening? Or is it going to be a straight win from either the heels or the faces?
My inclination is to think it's going to be just a normal match.
Normal match. We sometimes I overthink things, and then they just do a straight-up thing.
Generally, what do we say? The most boring thing they can do with generally what they do.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're surprised when they don't do it. Anyways, that led to the contract signing. Didn't that lead to like a brawl or something? You know what? Hey, I'm gonna take on a controversial opinion here. I love James Ellsworth. I have grown to love because, dude, he gets heel heat.
Yeah, he does.
He doesn't get X-Pac heat. He gets heel. By the way, okay, so did we come to a conclusion as to what the subject we're going to do on Sunday is? Is that firm?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Watch WWF Invasion.
Yes.
From 2001. That's what we're going to review on Sunday.
Yes.
We'll put out a call on Twitter to make sure people watch it. Oh, my God. That was at the top of the X-Pac heat.
Oh.
With X-Pac.
Okay.
Because do you remember? I totally forgot about his theme song. I got man.
Yeah, right?
That was his theme song. It was so bad, dude.
Yeah.
And it was like purple lighting.
Yeah.
And he comes out. And here's the thing about X-Pac. I don't know why I'm launching this now, but I'm just going to say it real quick. And that's a preview for Sunday's show.
Yes.
He could have been over because he was still good in the ring. It was just he was so obnoxious with the all that kind of stuff.
I know.
He got to the ring and people immediately start chanting X-Pac sucks. And he had this look like he didn't know why. He was like, what am I doing? Because I'm good in the ring. But he was so...
I know. It was pretty...
Stop doing that!
It was too much.
Oh, God. Anyways, check out Invasion. We're going to review it on Sunday.
Yes.
So anyways,
I think you're trying to make a comparison between Ellsworth and Xbox.
When Xbox. Shane was done with, like, you know, doing the contract signing stuff, et cetera, et cetera, Ellsworth gets on the mic and he's doing his, duh. Oh, my God. I love that. And I know Fenris was on Twitter talking crap about him. And I was like, no, you know what, dude, Fenris, you got played because Ellsworth, that is heel heat right there.
That's Ellsworth doing his job well.
That is not X-Pac heat. That is heel heat right there. I freaking love Ellsworth, man. I think that's great. I think it's great. And anybody out there who's annoyed by him, that means he's doing his job.
Yep.
And you just played yourself, in the words of DJ Khaled.
Yep. So after that, we had a match between Naomi and Carmella.
Boy, Carmella likes to scream a lot.
Yeah.
I kind of dig it, though. You know who Carmella reminds me of? And it's the same thing I said back when she was with Enzo and Cass in NXT. She totally reminds me of an ECW. Like, you remember, like, just the attitude and the packaging. She reminds me of, like, those three together just reminded me of an ECW faction.
Yeah.
You know, like, Francine, who I know is like looked like a weird plastic model thing. And Carmella doesn't necessarily kind of does. But I don't know. It's a good thing. It's a compliment. I think she's a very well-defined character.
Yes.
I think she's good.
She is good.
I mean, she's not like really good in the ring.
No, but like, in terms of her character work.
In terms of her character work, it's really, really good. So anyways, Carmella ended up getting the win.
Yeah,
after...
there was a brawl on the outside where all the other members of the... or the participants of the six-woman tag match were brawling on the outside.
Yeah.
Naomi was distracted because she was checking on her teammates.
Yeah.
Carmella took advantage of that distraction to get a roll-up win.
Yeah. So the heels...
So they're really... The story they're pushing for this match is that the welcoming committee is a unified team.
Right.
Whereas Charlotte, Becky, and Naomi, not so much.
Yeah.
And they could use that somewhat as motivation for a Becky heel turn.
Yeah.
There's a lot of motivation there. It makes all the sense in the world for Becky to turn heel.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if they're going to do it.
Yeah, man. I don't know. She's so odd man out, though. Like, Naomi's the face champion.
I think
they're doing really good things with
yes.
Naomi right now. I really like her.
Yeah.
It's funny because that's kind of, I'm not going to say she didn't necessarily deserve it because I think she did. But it's been kind of the case where they put a belt on somebody and it's kind of gotten them more over. Mm-hmm. Like, she's run with the ball.
Yeah.
And I think that's usually what it is. You put the belt on somebody, you see if they run with it.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, I mean, there's two things. You either put the belt on somebody to see if they run with it, and so many times they haven't. Like, that was the story of the Intercontinental Championship in, like, the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah,
when they would just slap it on anybody and see if they could take it to the next level, as opposed to somebody like Stone Cold Steve Austin, who was already itching to be at that next level,
yeah.
And the belt felt natural to be on him,
yes.
And then he grew above it really quick.
Yes.
With Naomi, I think they put the belt on her, and she's really run with it.
Yeah.
Because she hasn't been... She hasn't been sort of backburnered in the presence of Charlotte and Becky Lynch.
Let me ask you something.
I think she's held her own, character-wise at least.
There is a bit, I think, leading up to a segment where it showed Naomi, Becky, and Charlotte walking backstage as a group.
No, I saw that. It's kind of cheesy.
Well, also, but I was going to say, in the center was Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that was on purpose.
Mm-hmm, could be.
And I wonder what they were trying to communicate by having Becky be in the middle.
I would speculate, and this is, I don't know if this is the case, but she would be the glue between the belt and the person who really wants the belt.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
The problem with that is Becky Lynch should really want that belt.
Yeah.
You know? And so the only way that really going to accomplish that is by turning her heel.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. Anyways, let's see. Here.
Next, we had Dolph backstage saying that he was going to expose Shinsuke as a fraud. Because he said, what is...
Does Dolph not watch NXT?
Well, apparently not, because he said, I'm going to show you what Shinsuke has done. Here's a video, and you know, it said no picture or something like that.
Yeah.
But apparently he hasn't watched NXT. Because Shinsuke, in his year there, did a lot. Not to mention his 10-plus years in New Japan.
Yeah. I mean, I get the point. Like,
and then he showed his own highlight reel.
Here in WWE, what have you done? And I guess they consider NXT a non-WWE entity.
Sometimes. when it's convenient, yes.
When it's convenient. But,
Shinsuke just came up to the main roster. What do you expect? You know, he just debuted.
I mean, dude, look. What do you expect Dolph to do? Dolph is given something to do, and he does it as best he can.
Oh, I'm not blaming Dolph for it, no.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. They said Shinsuke is coming up to Maine after Mania because that's when the biggest impact is made. We're not going to have him fight till Backlash. Creative, come up with something to do. And... I mean, there's only so many things you can do without having him fight.
I know.
You know, I feel like last week, which you really liked and I did like.
Yeah.
Should have maybe been the go home.
That either should have been the go home or their second interaction.
Yeah, no, you're right. It should have been the last or the first or the second. Yeah, you're right. I agree. I mean, it is what it is. I don't know. I think maybe they feel... Hey, we're doing enough to... Number one, where was Shinsuke last night?
I think he wrestled in the dark match.
Oh, he did? Okay.
So I guess what they're doing is having Shinsuke wrestle the dark match to keep people in their seats through 205 Live.
Okay.
To see him wrestle.
All right. So then we had... Man, oh man. This Sami Zayn interview. Is this really what they're doing with him? This is really what they're doing with him? I literally popped when Corbin smacked him from behind. I actually popped on that one. I was like, I am so glad somebody punched that dude.
Wow.
I'm so over the this. And then if you have a guy who's envious and he does this. That's where you're going with that?
Yeah.
I am not into that at all, man. I was so happy when Corbin punched that dude in the face. Oh, I was so happy with that. I'm going to end you permanently. Yes. Thank you, Baron. Do that. Come on, Sami Zayn, like, what? Who was it? Kota Ibushi said Sami Zayn's the best wrestler they got? Something like somebody said that?
Yeah, I think it was Kota Ibushi.
And I think he's probably right. And this is what they're doing with Sami Zayn.
I know.
This.
I know.
Come on.
I know.
Come on. Orton versus Corbin was up next. Randy Orton versus Baron Corbin. Man, oh, man. Did you hear Corbin's trash talk?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It was good. He said, they like you. That's why I'm hurting you.
Yeah.
Ah, that was a great line. They really like you. Kind of reminds me of Brad Pitt. They really like you.
Yeah, man. And he's like, you're nothing. He's been saying that when he's kicking him.
Yeah. Oh, I loved it. I thought it was great.
It was a good showing for Corbin.
No, it was. It was, man. I think.
Remember in NXT, he used to wrestle and it was, he wrestled a more deliberate pace.
Slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And ever since he's, especially on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. I know.
It's like he had a couple conversations with Dean Ambrose, and Dean says, no, you should be working fast, 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 fast.
Yeah.
And now he's nonstop.
Yeah.
And it's great.
I love it, man, because it's like, yeah, they probably, maybe they encourage them, hey, you're a big man, lumber about.
Yeah.
You know, it makes you, maybe they thought, hey, it makes you come off as more, like, your shots will be more powerful.
Yeah, if you space them out and take your time.
You're a power guy.
Gives your opponent a chance to sell.
But here you get sort of the best of both worlds. You know, he's fast and he seems powerful.
For a guy his size, he's pretty athletic.
Yeah.
Why not showcase that?
Yeah. No, I thought it was a decent match. I actually like the finish too. I always like when they get kind of creative with their RKO. Like
whenever they
emphasize the out of nowhere aspect of their RKO, it's always fun. Somebody, one of our friends who was on Twitter, and I'm sorry, I forget who it was, said that they predict that we're going to get an RKO out of Jinder's finishing move.
Oh, that's
possible. Which could totally happen. Yeah. So I could see that happening. Jinder Mahal and the Singh brothers ended up, he won. Then Mahal came down as Orton was kind of posing.
Yeah.
Had a great close up on Orton as he was like sort of not happy that Jinder's music was playing.
Yeah. Hold on a second. I'm going to ask you something. Randy is letting the beard grow out.
A little bit, yeah.
Further than it ever did when he's with the Wyatts.
Truth.
Why did he do that when he's with the Wyatts?
I mean, I think that's kind of the least of the concerns of that particular feud.
that's like, one of the things.
That to the laundry
that's
list.
That's just one of the things. Even like his trunks now. Like he has, I don't know, is it camouflage or something pattern on the Orton on the back?
Yeah.
As opposed to just using white or
like tribal lettering. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, yeah. Like, why didn't you roll out some of this stuff when you're with the Wyatts?
I wonder if that Wyatt thing was supposed to have gone longer.
Could be.
And then they decided to put Wyatt.
I still think
the
idea of having Orton win Money in the Bank and having him with Bray as champ for months would have been an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, because it could be like literally out of nowhere.
Yeah,
I know. I know. No, I know.
And they really could have gone into more as opposed to dealing with over a span of 2 weeks about Bray giving Randy the keys to the kingdom and all that stuff. They could have fleshed out the whole storyline in that respect.
I know, man. We were so into it. We were so into it.
I mean, they could have thought of more time of how to make their title match more interesting than just projecting images of worms on the ring.
I like what you did here in the notes with the lowercase n.
Oh, it's because I go back and forth between having my caps lock on and off when I type up notes because I have everything in caps.
It's like sometimes like when WWE pay-per-views, they'll capitalize or lowercase random letters.
Yeah.
Like in the Invasion logo.
The V
like
is
a giant
huge.
G.
But all the letters are were uppercase though.
They're all uppercase.
In the logo, yeah. The V was gigantic.
It was a giant red V.
It was like 150 font and everything else was 100.
Yeah. 150 exactly.
Is either
everything else was 12 and that was like 72.
Either I turned off caps lock or I didn't hit shift when I typed that.
Oh right, letter. Right.
I don't know. I can't.
I like it. Sammy interview is very interview. Anyways, so the Singh brothers and Mahal confirmed for us that Mahal will not be winning that world.
Yeah,
title.
They ended SmackDown
standing tall, laying the beat down on Randy Orton. So that RKO is coming out of nowhere. But you know what? They've made a star out of Mahal.
Yeah.
I hope they continue his momentum.
Yes.
So, yeah, that should be cool. Let's answer some questions.
Yes, let's do that. Excuse me. Go ahead.
All right, here we go.
Excuse me.
SmackDown question thread. Gene the Grappler. Last night was an interesting SmackDown Live, seeing that there was more of a spotlight on the SmackDown Live tag teams, plus what happened after the Fashion Police. than the Uso interaction. My question is, does this angle help or hurt the tag team division, or is this filler until a better tag team comes along? No, this is good stuff. Ooh, we got another patron, Joshua Rutt. Now we're only 14 patrons away
from 1,000. Thank you very much.
No, look, man, the tag team is at its most interesting. Remember what happened when the American Alpha had the tag team titles? Nothing. They did nothing. Dun, 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 dun.
Like, I know.
Annoying music of theirs, and they didn't say anything, and they were just boring.
I know.
And now you've got two teams fighting over these titles, and they're diametrically opposed. One is this like really serious, violent gangster type thing, and then you got this comedy buffoon act. And they're highly entertaining, and it's interesting.
It is.
It's interesting. It's
yes.
Good.
Retired.
Elevates.
What? Retired Dwayne Nix. What do you guys think about the Usos promo work? Dwayne loved the whole head on a swivel, goosebumps down your back line when I first heard them say it against American Alpha. But now when they say it, it's kind of already played out. What are your guys' thoughts?
We talked about this a bit. I'm just not... I don't know. I like the passion. Maybe I'll come around to it. I like the passion. I just want to see some of the violence they keep referring to because they just do a lot of just standing around.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they seem kind of cartoonish. Fat bastard champ Alex Foster. Oh, boy. Great question. Who should Ty feud with next in order to be known as a player on SmackDown Live?
Well, he has a pre-show match against Aiden English.
He needs to be feuding with the producers. He needs to be feuding with whoever brought him up to Maine without a plan for him.
Yep.
What the heck is that?
Yeah. I thought I heard about some social media interaction with Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
But he needs a few feuds under his belt before he gets put in the U.S. title scene.
Yeah, that's not happening anytime soon.
So.
No way. I like this question here. Nemo, the Universal Kidney Punching Champion. Do you think there's any good way to sell Naomi's whirlwind kick thingy? Or do you think Carmella's just bad at it? Because she looks like a T-Rex trying to dance. Yeah, she does. She does this.
Yeah, it's not a good sell.
This is not a good sell. But when the Queen Charlotte herself sells it, it doesn't look any more convincing. I like the idea of it, and Naomi is athletic enough to pull it off. But nobody knows how to sell that.
Well,
thing.
I think it's unclear what the point of the move is.
Yeah, right.
Is it to actually inflict damage, or is it to disorient? If it's
yeah.
to disorient your opponent, then... Is it disorientate? Or am I saying that right?
Disorientate or disorient? Disorient. Confused. Good. Yeah, confused.
Lost my train of thought. I'm having a hard day thinking today. I was up way too late.
If the point is
to confuse your opponent, then people should sell accordingly, but they're not.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing.
Yeah. Let's see here. Papa Bless... Oh, no, never mind. Yeah, well, I'll just say it because I already said it. Papa Bless champion Alex Ponce, Jinder Mahal beat Orton and AJ. This confirms he is losing a backlash. Correct. That is correct.
Yes.
Yes.
The Rainmaker Jordan Carter. Hey, friendos, do you think the Fashion Police push will end when the New Day returns?
I'm really, really interested to see.
I think they could have a really good program.
Well, here's the thing. I don't even necessarily. Well, yeah, I do think they can have a good program. But I kind of would prefer to see them in some sort of collaborative environment. That could be so much fun because the New Day are kind of like they're kind of above titles.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't. It's kind of like Charlotte. Like she doesn't need to be in the title scene yet because we all know that she can have the title at any time.
Yes, yes.
New Day don't really need that. So they're kind of above the title scene.
Mm-hmm.
So get them into other programs to get other people. I don't want to say over. I don't want to see them putting people over, but get them, you know, if they were in a program with, and this is not going to happen, if they're in a program with the Ascension, it would raise the Ascension's profile.
Yeah.
You know, so get them to do that.
You know what I'd like to see them do with the New Day?
Mm.
And one of the members, I can't remember who, talked about this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Freebird for
Singletons. Have them win the U.S. title. Freebird rules. Any of them could defend it.
That would be fascinating.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Super fascinating. Let's see here. Robert Draftmaster Chacon. I don't know if you guys watched Talking Smack. Oh, yeah, I did. I saw this segment. They had Eric Rowan on.
Oh, yeah.
What
was that all about?
He's actually really good, dude. He was actually really good. He came out with like a bag. I saw like the minute and a half they posted on WWE Twitter's Twitter account. WWE's Twitter account.
Neither of us are terribly sharp today.
My goodness.
We started an hour early.
Yeah, that's why, yeah.
Our rhythm is all off.
But anyways, he was very convincing. He referred to Luke Harper as Lucas, which I thought was great. And, I mean, you know, I didn't necessarily understand the full context of, like, why he wants to fight him. But he, you know, you really just have to watch it to really appreciate it. But the way he was sort of appealing to Shane McMahon was, like, borderline kind of disturbing. Like, he was not all there. Well, you have power. Can you make the match? Like, it was really weird, but it was really, really well done.
I'll check it out.
I was impressed with his character work. I was like, man, like, especially like in the awkward situation of being a character like that on a set like talking smack, where everything's a bit more laid back.
Yeah,
and you're scotch out of character. Yeah, a little bit. And they, in like Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan, will try to get you out of character, but try to keep you on your feet. I kind of would have been interested to see how Daniel Bryan would have approached the Eric Rowan thing, because Daniel Bryan has an appreciation for people who are all in to their character. And so I think he would have respected a bit. Shane did a really good job, but it was cool. I thought it was neat. It wasn't like over the top, like, oh, I'm crazy guy. It was kind of subtle. Like, yeah, he kind of came out like a movie character. I kind of liked it.
Interesting. Low-level writer Carlos Hackworth. What's up, friendo? Seeing how the best feuds in WWE today do not involve their top talent, why do you think that is? Also, he was honored with his first booking for an indie promotion and wondered if we had any advice.
Booking in what manner, Carlos? What are you doing there in your first booking for an indie promotion? Are you going to wrestle? I didn't know Carlos was a wrestler. Thought he was a low-level writer.
Yeah.
Maybe he's booking.
Could be.
Any advice? Let's say he's booking. Any advice? I mean, dusty finish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't go wrong with a dusty finish.
All of them. All matches. Dusty finish.
All matches, dusty finishes. If he's wrestling, what's your advice?
Dusty finish.
Perfect.
Be safe.
Yeah, just be safe, buddy. Just be safe.
So why do you agree with this premise that the best feuds in WWE today don't involve their top talent? Because we think, like, the best feuds, two of the best feuds are on 205 Live.
Okay, I'm gonna say this. I think what he may be referring to as, and I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but if you're talking about best feuds as in WWE's spotlighted feature feuds, like Lesnar, Goldberg, I mean, I guess Jinder, Randy. I mean, yeah, it is kind of oddball that, like, the top titles are, you know, yeah, I kind of see that. Because, you know that, like, whoever's taking on Lesnar is getting fed to the beast and they're going to be spat out.
Yeah.
And regardless of who wins that Fatal 5-Way, with the exception of Roman Reigns, everybody else we're really high on.
Yeah.
And we know they're going to be fed to Lesnar.
Yeah.
And so I maybe that's what he's talking about.
Well, here's the thing I just thought of. I think one of the reasons that the feuds on 205 Live, namely Aries Neville and Tozawa Kendrick, have been so well done, is because they've been given time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the last 2 weeks, you could maybe argue that Neville, Aries, their feud's getting a tad redundant.
Mm-hmm.
But with, you know, introducing the knee injury to Aries, it kicks up a little bit of a level.
Yeah.
But especially level. Tozawa Kendrick, this is like a 2-3 month feud that's been going on, and it's still interesting.
Yeah, I know.
Because
they add layers to it.
Yeah, and we still don't feel like we're anywhere close to a blow-off match.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still invested.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I can't think of a main roster feud they've given that much time to.
They've tried to with Seth and Joe, but it's been coming up as a bit redundant also.
It's because they haven't really kicked it up a notch in any.
I know.
That's why they should have had Joe win the match at Payback. That would have kicked it up.
Yeah.
That would have given, because right now Joe's motivation is, well, this feud is over when I say it's over.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. Larson's personal beard trimmer, Joaquin Cardenas. New patron here. Thank you, Joaquin. How much longer will it be until Shinsuke is holding that WWE World title high?
WrestleMania 34.
You think so? Yeah. Is that your actual belief?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. I'd like to think so too. Not sure I'm as optimistic as all that, but I'd like to think so.
Tommy T, hey friendos, what five wrestlers in all of wrestling, in your opinion, have the best moveset? Kenny Omega.
Mm-hmm.
His is varied.
The best wrestling moveset. Kevin Owens has one of the better movesets.
Yeah, he does.
And I don't even think you've said this before, and I agree. I don't think we've seen 50% of what he can do.
No. I mean, Ricochet.
Oh, my gosh. Ricochet.
He's great.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, AJ has a good moveset. It's varied.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of other juniors in the New Japan
Jeff
scene.
Cobb.
Jeff Cobb's moveset is like, you have to see it to believe it. Like the things he does.
Yeah, that he's strong enough to do.
With like inertia and gravity. All that kind of stuff is amazing. Let's see here. Oh, here's a shout out to Randy Hayes. Friendos, I'm going to NXT Chicago. If anyone wants to meet up this weekend, Randy Hayes wants some friendos to meet up with him. So find him somehow.
This is a great question. Magnum TA champion Nathan Ragland. WWE has decided to make a theme park and want us to design it. What wrestler theme rides would you have in WWE land? Mm-hmm. First of all, they need to have a Lex Express.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
For Absolutely. Sure.
Is that just the bus that takes you around the park?
Yeah, it could be.
Okay. I really want...
Oh, they need the ultimate thrill ride. That's what they need.
That's what I was going to say, man. And then you're like going down and Undertaker goes...
And Roman Reigns does this and everybody in the ride boos.
Exactly. Did you ever read this Tommy T question? Was that the best movesets?
Okay. What other rides could they have?
The last ride.
There you go.
So the very last thing you do is the last ride.
There you go. Good. Good.
Let's see here. What else do we have? The Nightcrawler. He says, hey, Steve and Commissioner Larson. Why are you Commissioner Larson? Do you think WWE is currently lacking real superstars? Because in my opinion, besides John Cena, Brock Lesnar, and maybe Shinsuke, nobody on the roster feels larger than life or truly over besides them. Well, you know why? It's because the WWE doesn't really push guys like that. Like,
I know.
Like, we all knew that Kevin Owens was going to have that belt taken away from him by Brock Lesnar because WWE felt Brock is a bigger name.
Yep.
My only hope, my only thing is this. This might end, like, I don't think this is long-term strategizing, but it's long-term hope on my part. That the talent these days is so strong that 15 years from now, when they are part-timers, then like the marquee names are going to be guys that we do like.
I know.
Maybe there's something to be said about that. I have no idea. I'm not optimistic.
Well, you know, it's kind of a catch-22 because they're not developing, you know, their full-time stars to that extent where they could be in 10, 15 years, huge part-time names.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they want to rely on these part-timers to sell the major four pay-per-views, but at the same time, that's time they could be dedicating to developing their full-time performers to get to that level.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
They're not doing it.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Kurt Schwoofsky. If you had to pick anybody to transition to the main roster storylines from the UK division or cruiserweights, who would it be and how soon will it happen? He could see people like Neville, Brian Kendrick, or Pete Dunne being switched to compete against other performers.
Wait, say again? What's that?
If you had to pick anybody to transition to the main roster from...
Oh, the UK division or
either
the cruiserweights.
Either UK okay. or cruiserweights.
Let's pick three from each.
Okay. UK.
UK.
Pete Dunne.
I would say, yeah, Pete Dunne. I'd
Trent
say
Seven.
Pete Dunne, Trent Seven, and I'd say Wolfgang.
Okay.
205
Live.
205 Live.
Austin Aries, Neville, and Cedric Alexander.
Patrick Spark says, how can Rusev be taken seriously missing SmackDown for the Preds playoff game?
Oh, yeah, that's what he said on Twitter, that he missed SmackDown because he wanted to go to a playoff game. I don't think that was...
No, he's covering for the fact that they bumped him.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they... I mean, you know, the dude... The dude says, I'm going to be there at SmackDown.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't show up at SmackDown. And, you know, like 1 2-minute segment. They could have taken a minute from
him. I know. I know.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
So weird.
Let's do a couple more.
Okay. Okay. La Sombra Barrow says, where on the card do you think Jinder and the Singhs will end up following Backlash? I could see him getting into. I'm sorry, Sami Zayn.
Okay, I was going to see. Yeah. I could see in after assuming he loses to Orton, a couple other feuds, and eventually, once a face picks up the U.S. title, him getting involved in the U.S. title.
Yeah, that could be
on
too.
A very consistent basis.
Yeah,
because I think before he won the number one contender match, there were reports that they were going to start booking Jinder to be the top mid-card heel, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Or one of the top mid-card heels.
Devin says, greetings from the Emerald Triangle. Longish time Patreon here. He says, where is my shout-out? I'm sorry, Devin. I'm sorry. I missed Devin. Devin, big shout-out to Devin. He says, the tag team division is obviously in peril. I think it's looking better, though, Devin.
Yes.
He says, do you think the New Day coming to SmackDown is good or bad? At first glance, maybe. Do you think they're too big for the already struggling teams on the roster? Are they going to revitalize or overshadow the division? I think they're going to be there to enhance the division in a way only they can. Mm-hmm. I think that, it, like I said earlier, if you have them paired up against teams like the Ascension, then it only makes the other team look better, look stronger, have more of a spotlight on them. So I think they're going to be, I think they're going to be good for the division.
Yes, me too.
SmackDown stacked because of freaking the New Day, though, dude.
I know.
I'm telling you.
I know.
I already love SmackDown. Let's see here. Oh, this is a good one. Coldwater Larson's Ice Guy Jimmy Thomas. Pick one former superstar and one current superstar to be the next KFC Colonel. He says Ric Flair would be his former. That's a really good pick. I would say Stone Cold would be my.
That's good.
That would be really good.
What about current?
Current superstar. Well, we already saw Dolph.
Yeah. So
obviously, we can't say Dolph. I would say Randy. That real dry, monotone way of his. Who's doing this? What about you, man?
I'm thinking.
What you got? What you got? What about Baron Corbin as the new KFC?
Yeah, give that to me now.
That'd be good. Do you like chicken? How about extra crispy chicken? Go to KFC.
You want to do some
trivia? Time for trivia.
Oh, hold on. Let's do this one last question. Steel O'Neil. Who is your pick to win Best of the Super Juniors? They had a couple matches already.
Okay. Has Ricochet ever won Best of Super Juniors?
Yes.
Marty
Scurll.
It's got to be Scurll. Yeah, they already had a couple matches yesterday.
Yeah.
Didn't watch any of them.
No, but I saw who won. Apparently, Skrull and Ospreay is really good.
Ooh.
And then...
Who won that one? Skrull?
Yeah.
Okay. And otherwise, then, you'd be like, no, he's already out.
No, it's not. It's not. It's a round robin.
Oh.
It's not single elimination. Okay. And then Takahashi had a match against Dragon Lee. I guess it's really good, too.
Oh, man. I got to check those out.
More wrestling to watch this weekend.
No kidding. Modern era. Attitude era.
Attitude era.
It's our trivia questions for the day. I'll read first.
Okay. Which one are you starting with?
Classic.
Attitude.
Vince McMahon.
Don't try to confuse me.
Vince McMahon was the controversial winner of the 1999 Royal Rumble.
Yes.
Who did he last eliminate to win the event?
Hurricane.
What? Stone Cold?
Oh,
Steve
I thought
Austin.
Stone Cold was eliminated like early on.
You dumb son of a bitch.
Guess not.
Don't butt any fingers up. What?
Who served as a special guest referee when Shane McMahon battled his father Vince at WrestleMania 17? Special guest referee between Shane and Vince, WrestleMania 17.
Was it Foley?
Yes.
Nice.
Good guess.
He was the special guest ref during the match at Invasion between Nick Patrick and Earl Hebner. You have WWF, WCW, and ECW all on the same pay-per-view, and you have referees fighting. It's going to be a good episode. Survivor Series 1998. Your favorite Survivor Series, your favorite pay-per-view of all time.
Yes.
Featured the Deadly Game Tournament for the vacant WWE title. Who won the tournament?
The Rock.
Very good. Put a finger up. You dumb son.
In what type of match did Mankind and Chainsaw Charlie defeat the New Age Outlaws for the World Tag Team titles at WrestleMania 14?
Be a dumpster match.
Correct.
Right? Okay. What two men made up the Acolytes tag team?
Oh, that's Bradshaw and Farouk.
Very good.
What WWE superstar played the title role in the 2002 movie The Scorpion King?
The Rock. Who in 2007 became the first man to win the Royal Rumble match from the number 30 position?
You have to put one more finger up because you got all those questions right.
Bang!
Sorry, read that one again. I wasn't paying attention.
2007. The first man to win the Royal Rumble match from the number 30 position.
Oh, Cena.
Undertaker.
Oh.
My legacy.
Damn.
Is at number 30.
At SummerSlam 2005, what fired superstar returned to face Edge over Edge stealing Lita from him?
Wonderful! Matt Hardy!
Yeah.
Who did John Cena get to say, I quit, in their match for the WWE Championship at Breaking Point 2009?
Orton.
Very good. Yeah.
Just put a finger up. What Scottish superstar known as the Chosen One?
Drew McIntyre.
There's more of this question. I'm not even going to bother asking it, though.
Okay.
Man, you're going to sweep these, potentially.
Sweep. Maybe. You just jinxed me. What superstar was fired by Raw GM Eric Bischoff for losing to WWE champion John Cena the night after SummerSlam 2005? Who was fired by Bischoff for losing to Cena the night after SummerSlam 2005?
Kurt Angle.
Chris Jericho.
Damn.
Break to the pin!
What WWE competitor starred in the movie Knucklehead?
Well, it's a clean sweep.
Good job.
I get three. Finally, I get 1 week of good trivia.
I should have got that Stone Cold one. I'm very upset with myself.
One. Two. What?
Three.
Let's see what prizes I got today in trivia.
Let's see.
Ooh, look at this. Catchphrases. Stratisfaction guaranteed. Look at Trish there looking like $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
what's
else?
Next?
Oh, I got WWE aggression. Taz. Look at he's laying into John. Did you see that video I showed you I put on Twitter?
Oh, I didn't actually watch it.
Billy Kidman beating John Cena.
Wow.
It was great. And then Tajiri kicking Test in the face on SmackDown. Look at that. Well done.
Good job.
What a crappy batch of prize cards I got. What a ripoff.
But you finally won a week of trivia. It hadn't happened in a while.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah, that's it for now.
Yep,
we're going to have our Backlash predictions on
Thursday. First thing Thursday morning.
And then we've got NXT 205 Live coming
later
up
on Thursday. Friday, we have Dirt Sheet plus Retro Gaming in Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, we have Count Out.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday, Invasion.
Remember, we're only 14 patrons away from giving you guys a Backlash
live stream
reaction.
Pizza party.
Till next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.